Hello and welcome to a special 4th of July edition of the Beer of the Day podcast. Tonight, we celebrate our nation's birth by trying 5 different patriotic beers. And we also take a look at several of the latest beer-related news articles. My name's Dallas Helliker. We have the full Beer of the Day crew here tonight. Joining me, Andy Hamilton, Steve Williamson, Britton and Joel Miner, Kira Hopkin, Brandon Hofer, and on Skype from Pasadena, Jeff Miller. Hello, everybody.
What's going on? Woo.
Yo.
America.
Full house.
Yeah. All right, our first 4th of July beer is from Rogue Ales. It's called American Amber Ale. It's got the flag on it. It
it obviously foams up quite a bit because about 2 ounces of it ended up.
There goes my portion.
Andy, that's Jeff's portion, right?
In Andy's lap there.
Andy just poured a bunch in his lap.
That was a lot of.
Well, tell us about how it feels and the carbonation, Andy.
It came quick.
Oh, man. You have to go and watch the video on YouTube of this podcast. It's pretty hilarious how much overflow we had to deal with there.
Maybe Dal, you can put in the slow motion instant replay.
Yeah, I'll do that. That's nice. Okay, this is 5.3%. The 5 beers that we have in this show, we're going to start at the lowest and work our way to the highest.
Highest in alcohol content, right?
Correct.
All right.
So I like the color of this beer. It's kind of a deep amber, kind of hazy.
Hazy, little orange colored.
The head dissipated pretty quickly.
Yeah, mine's on my lap.
It's not really fair that there's 7 of us here and we have to share one, and then Jeff gets his own.
You guys got to start buying a 6-pack
of 22-ounce beers. That's great.
I bought this in a 6-pack, so we got a little bit different beer here.
I have a very nice brown sugar smell I'm enjoying a lot.
I think what I find is raisins. I don't describe very many beers that way, but it's like, what's that box? Sun-made raisins? It's like a box of raisins in liquid form.
Yeah, but it's almost like you're smelling more of the cardboard box than you are the actual raisins. Like after the raisins
are the box, yeah. Yeah. It's like the box after the raisins are gone, right?
Exactly, yeah.
It tastes pretty light, though. I don't get raisins, but it just tastes kind of light, refreshing.
Getting a huge honey finish.
Oh, yeah. The clover honey, not to be confused with the berry honey.
I think it's a little syrupy. Like, it could use a little carbonation. But I do think the aftertaste is extremely smooth.
So
go ahead.
So I had cinder cone earlier today, and this actually reminds me a lot of it, but it has a little bit more hoppiness to it than cinder cone, a little bit more bitterness.
I get kind of a bready characteristic from this. It's sort of it's not a very fresh hop flavor. It's kind of like when you let Celebration sit in the fridge too long. I get a little of those older hop.
There's a distinct sweetness to it, though. I don't know. It's kind of a sweet bread. I don't know what
My first thought was kind of with what Dal said. It's definitely like I get a yeasty kind of smell and kind of taste to it. But I also, with the sweetness, it's kind of like you said, somebody mentioned raisins. I kind of get that same thing with like a dried fruit where it's a sweet because all the condensed sugar in it. That's what I kind of get through when I'm drinking this beer.
So it's kind of like caramel or dulce de leche on top of some bread.
When I first tasted it, I thought it was really sweet, and applying Andy's third sip rule, I'm getting a lot of the hop bitterness at the end now.
I should take 2 more sips then.
You should.
Do you have 2 left?
Just barely. So they've been brewing this beer since 1989. I don't remember ever seeing it, but I'm sure it's been there. That's about all they say on the bottle here.
I'm trying to compare it to another amber that I've had, and I'm having a tough time coming up with one. Like, I don't know what it really compares to as far as...
Maybe like Alaskan amber.
And I'll be honest, it's good, not great. And even good is pushing it.
Well, I mean, yeah, I'm not a big fan of it. It's not necessarily, I like amber ales, but this one I wouldn't necessarily classify as one of my favorites.
Yeah, well, this was the first one that I saw that I saw the American flag on it, and I was like, you know what? We should do a 4th of July show and get all the American-themed beers. So at least this one was the impetus.
It fits the bill in the advertising, at least.
Yep. Now let's get into the beer news of the day. Our first story, and I don't know who this applies to, but if you are a drinker of Beck's beer, then you might have a little money coming your way. Apparently, some Beck's drinkers felt deceived because although the bottle now says originated in Bremen, Germany back in 1873, because the beer has been brewed in St. Louis since 2012, I guess they didn't get the memo, even though the fine print does say that. And so they sued, and based on the settlement, they InBev is going to have to pay out the class action lawsuit. So if you're a big Beck's drinker, you can get 10 cents for each individual bottle or can, 50 cents a six-pack, or 50 cents for a four-pack of 16-ounce cans, $1 for a 12-pack, $1.25 for a 15-pack of 12-ounce bottles, and $1.75 for a 20-pack of 12-ounce cans.
Who's buying that much Beck's?
Well, it taps out.
$50.
It maxes out at $50. So,
and that's if you still have your receipt.
Yeah, and this was on NPR today, and they were talking about it, and they brought in a bunch of specialists, and I was pretty interested in about it. I mean, I was pretty, you know, I was listening in, and I was like, man, this is crazy. But, you know, I get it. You got to have some sort of accountability to where your beer comes from. If you're claiming it comes, you know, it's a German beer, you know, where do you lose that German beer?
Yeah. You're misleading in your advertising is what it is.
Yeah.
So I think they had this specialist on there from, there was like some, you know, brewing professor or something. And they were talking about the fact that the hops that they have and they grow in Germany when it comes to the malts and the hops that they grow there are actually different. Even if you take the same type of plant and you grow it there, because of the way the humidity and the agriculture is and the actual dirt in Germany versus here in the U.S. Because the Beck beer is using American malts and barleys inside their wine, and it does make a difference. So that was the kind of the argument going back and forth on NPR today.
Are they insinuating that German dirt is better than American dirt? Because this is the 4th of
July
episode.
They're insinuating that it's different.
But I think there's so many beers that are made somewhere other than where people think. I mean, if you look at it, you got to do a little research. But, you know, one of our favorite breweries, like Kona Brewing Company, that's made in Oregon, the beer that we get in California. It's not made in Hawaii. I mean, they make it in Hawaii, but just for the locals. And I think a lot of people don't know that. Doesn't make it bad. We love that beer.
You just broke my heart. I didn't know that.
Probably better because it's not on a having to be shipped over here.
It's half as costly, you know.
It would cost you twice as much easily.
Yeah. All right. The next story is basically that Sam Adams is going to be kicked out of the craft beer category. And it's kind of been an ongoing issue over the last few years, as certain breweries have gotten so big that they've had to change the classifications of what constitutes a craft brewery, because the biggest craft brewers have gotten so big that they're not craft brewers anymore. So, you know, in 2010, they switched it from 2 million to 6 million barrels a year, so that Sam Adams could still be considered a craft brewer. Now, Senator Ron Wyden, a Democrat from Oregon, is introducing the Craft Beverage Modernization and Tax Reform Act. So what this would do is kind of set in stone those definitions of how breweries are taxed based on their production, and it would kind of take these bigger breweries and kind of force them out of the mix. So it's kind of a weird thing where, because a craft brewer has been so successful, they end up not receiving the same benefits as a craft brewery.
Well, yes, I agree with you, but because they're so successful, they no longer need those tax breaks to be profitable. The reason the little guys get those tax breaks is because they wouldn't be able to survive without them. So I see the point. I see why they would get kicked out of the category. The reason they would like to keep them in is because they provide a lot of the financing for the legislation that goes on. So I see it both ways. It would be nice to have them, but at the same time, they're getting a huge benefit when they don't necessarily need it.
So. Yeah, and I'm going to say a lot of it, I mean, it is just a label. I know technically they aren't a craft beer, but they still follow that same mantra as all the other craft breweries to a certain extent where, you know, they're focused on the ingredients and putting out a high quality product. Granted, they make a lot more of it than they used to, but like
from a connoisseur standpoint,
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
They're not going to change for us, but from their operations standpoint, it will change for them.
And I agree with that. I'm just saying, like, as a consumer, you know, it's still a craft beer. It's right. It's not a, you know, Budweiser.
Right. So another article that was in the news is kind of on the same page. It involves smaller breweries that get tired of having to compete, end up selling out to InBev, and they're swallowing up all these small breweries and generally let them continue to operate how they had been. Maybe they do make them cut some costs as far as ingredients or whatever, but for the most part they let them keep their branding, keep their label, and then on the shelf they're competing with all these other microbreweries. So this is talking about Elysian Brewing in Seattle, and after 19 years, the CEO was tired of having to worry about paying the employees and 401k and keeping up with the Joneses, and it was just a easier path of resistance to sell. Yep. And Goose Island has done it, and a lot of breweries have kind of gone this direction, and so this article is asking, you know, can craft beer survive? You know, and it seems a little bit extreme to me to think that would happen, where all these, there's such a rebel mentality with a lot of them that I don't see them selling out. But
I don't think their competition is InBev. I think their competition is the ton of other craft breweries that they're competing against. I mean, it's such a huge thing right now that there's just, the market's so saturated.
Right, and in 5 years, you're going to have a lot of craft brewers shutting down because they can't compete. Just they've grown so fast that you know, it's that you can't sustain that growth. You know, what I said is that, you know, InBev can afford to give away all the beer they sell through their craft brew lines, as long as it causes a dimple in the market and it increases their market share. And craft brewers can't compete with that.
Right. They can't afford to operate at a loss.
Right.
Yeah. And I think if you're concerned from a consumer standpoint that you're not going to be able to find good quality beer locally, you're not going to have that problem regardless of what InBev does. You know, you look at some of the RSS feeds that I'm on for home brewing, and these guys are going to business all day long. And there's always going to be that place down the street that's going to sell a local, yeah, you know, brew from your local town. So the good news for me is I'm not worried about it. There's always going to be great beer. There's always going to be new beer to try. And there's always going to be local beer.
It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt a lot of breweries, though.
I agree.
And it's going to cause a lot of breweries are just going to, like the Elysian in Seattle, you know, these guys are getting ready to retire. They either have to hire a manager to run their business and risk that, or they can just, you know, collect their $10 million and move on.
You know, I almost look at this a different way. I feel like InBev and these other huge breweries are almost threatened a little bit by the craft beer industry. It's smart of them to buy some of these smaller breweries because they're losing market share every year. they have to keep buying these. I mean, I don't think InBev's going to go out of business or anything like that, but it's like they have to buy some of these small breweries to stay relevant because of the market share they're losing on Bud Light, Budweiser, you name it. So I almost look at this as, you know, InBev has to do this because they're recognizing the threat from these smaller breweries.
I agree fully with Jeff. I mean, they see it as a way to get into a craft beer, and they don't have to put all the money into developing their own brand. They can, they don't mind spending the money to just buy something that's already established, and they see the trends and the, you know, everything's on craft beer. That's where the growth is, and that's how they can get in and be a part of that market. So,
but they're also about making as much money as possible, and the best way for them to do that would be to eliminate competition. So I will see. You know, it's been a couple years now since they've bought up a lot of these breweries, and we'll see in the coming 5 to 10 years what's really going to happen. I'm interested.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think we covered a lot of ground there. Let's get into the next beer. We have Liberty Ale from Anchor Brewing Company just over in San Francisco.
They are not open to the public. You must make a reservation for a brewery tour if you want to go there.
Good information to know.
Just an FYI.
Last time I was in San Francisco, I thought about stopping by.
Yeah, our Uber driver knew that, and he dropped us off anyways.
Instead, I went to, was it, not 21st Amendment, the other one.
Speakeasy.
Speakeasy, yeah.
It's really clear beer with...
You can pour a little more than that, Joel. We do have an extra one this time.
Here.
All right. A lot of people, so a lot of pouring.
Yeah. A little bit darker than straw color. Uber clear.
I didn't realize they've been making this beer since 1975.
Wow, that's got to be one of the first.
That's because you weren't even born yet.
It's true.
Maybe your parents knew.
Now, we did have this on the Beer of the Day back in 2007 for 4th of July. And maybe this will be the Beer of the Day this 4th of July. I don't know. We'll have to see. I think whatever is selected as the Beer of the Day tonight will be the Beer of the Day on the 4th of July. We are recording this a week earlier, and this podcast will be released on the 3rd. And so you'll be hearing this then to celebrate the holiday weekend.
So what is this? Do we know? Is it a pale ale? Is it an IPA?
I think it's a Liberty Ale.
It means freedom. No, it doesn't mean freedom, but it
classic
represents
ale
freedom.
Tradition.
Yeah, it's just an ale.
So it's 5.9%, 47 IBUs, which is probably not in the realm of the IPAs that we drink. I would call it a pale ale.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's pretty malty.
That the aroma is nothing like the taste.
Yeah, it's got a lot of that copper bitterness that some pale ales have, where just kind of dry and kind of really tingles in the back of your throat quite a bit. A little bit of a metallic taste to it.
Nailed it. Yeah.
Good description.
Totally. I was trying to point my finger on it and copper, like, just that nailed it for me.
It does have some good strong carbonation. It goes down smooth. It's just the aftertaste it's a really long lingering aftertaste.
Yeah, it is.
But it's got a very dry mouthfeel. Like it's kind of the consistency of Chardonnay or something. Maybe some type of sparkling dry wine.
That's what I was kind of getting towards. I wasn't going to say necessarily champagne, but kind of that same mouthfeel where you got the carbonation and just kind of that dry flavor.
Now, Jeff, you might have kind of hit on this a little bit, but what 47 IBUs, I mean, what does that kind of compare to, like, to a bitterness level? Because I don't think it's very bitter at all. Is that?
I mean, I think it's
mild.
It's mild for what we drink, definitely. I mean, I think it's probably on the higher end for the normal American beer, but lower than a typical pale ale or IPA that we would drink.
True.
that you called it what, copper bitterness. It's that, but to me it's like I feel like I'm drinking sweat. Like that
not a good description at all.
Like salty, you mean?
It's a little salty and
it's
a little
kind of pungent. There's like a pungent something or another for me.
So it's interesting you say that, because when I drink this beer, I'll tell you the thing that I want is, like, I want salt. I want to have something salty with it, because I feel like if I had sunflower seeds to drink with this beer, I'd enjoy it a lot more. And I don't know if that's because of the, I want something to replace that long-lasting taste, or maybe it will just open it up more. But it's just a very overpowering flavor.
You know what? I'm three sips in now, and my opinion's kind of changed. This is a beer that, if they served it at the ballpark, I think I could drink a lot of.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, I could drink a lot of this. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's just a long-lasting flavor.
It doesn't taste like it, but kind of back to the dryness, it reminds me of Stella, in that Stella tends to like rob all the moisture out of my mouth and give me like ever so slight cotton mouth. This is kind of doing the same thing. And then after that happens, it hits me with a bitterness that I'm not finding pleasant.
Sweat.
I think it's still a respectable beer. I mean, by like today's standards, this is not a beer I would drink on a regular basis, and it's been a few years since I've had one of these. But if you look at, you know, this has been made since 1975. For that time, it was a pretty hoppy beer, and it's pretty much, you know, it's stood up to a lot of competition over the years. I think it's a respectable beer for how long it's been around.
Yeah, agreed.
So I can appreciate that.
Well said.
All right. So I was looking online and trying to find some 4th of July related beer content. And I came across George Washington's beer recipe. So it was pretty interesting, and I'll just read it for you. Take a large sifter full of bran hops to your taste. Boil these 3 hours. Then strain out 30 gallons into a cooler. Put in 3 gallons of molasses while the beer is scalding hot, or rather drain the molasses into the cooler. Strain the beer on it while boiling hot. Let this stand till it is little more than blood warm. Then put in a quart of yeast. If the weather is cold, cover it with a blanket. Let it work in the cooler 24 hours and then put it into the cask. Leave the bung open till it is almost done working. Bottle it that day, the week it was brewed.
So if it's brewed on a Wednesday, you know, the next Wednesday you bottle it.
Right. So that's his recipe. Maybe someday we'll have to try the George Washington beer.
I just got
to
get my blood warm.
I would not question George Washington's blood warmth measurement. I think he probably knew that very well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the other thing was James Madison was going to create a national brewery, like kind of like the bank, the Bank of the United States. He was going to make the brewery of the United States and standardize everything. But at that point, things had become pretty standardized anyway, and beer was getting better. And so Thomas Jefferson wrote him a letter and said, "Hey, buddy, that's not necessary."
Could you imagine? We wouldn't be here doing this. I mean, what if there was a standard American brewery?
Bill of Rights. All beer must be purchased at the beer store.
It's like Ohio.
All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, we have several more American patriotic themed beers to try. We'll be right back, right here on the Beer of the Day podcast. All right, before we get back to the show, let's talk about our website real quick. Beerthedaycom, the new version of the website, is now up and running, and each day we feature a new beer of the day. A lot of times, those will be the beers that we've discussed on this podcast. We take pictures of the beer so you can look at them in more detail. We write more detailed descriptions of them and put them up on the site, And if you come to the site and create an account, you can leave comments on the beer, rate the beer. It automatically keeps track of your favorite beers that you've had of all time. If you see beers on the site that you want to try, you can mark those. And so you have lists of beers that you might want to look for in the future. And it's kind of a beer community. We also post it on all the social networking sites. So if you go to facebook.com/thebeeroftheday, you can like us on there, and then it'll automatically post the beer of the day to you each day. If you follow us on Twitter at beer of the day, then same type of thing. We automatically post the beer of the day, so you don't really have to seek it out. Also, if you're a member of the website, you can choose to have us email you each day the new beer of the day, or you can get it sent straight to your phone by text message. We also have some text messaging functionality where if you are in a bar or at a brewery and you want to take a picture of a beer that you're trying, you can just send the photo to us on to our phone number, and it'll ask you what beer it is, and you respond, and it'll post that photo right up on the website for everyone else to see. Also, if you have any feedback for us regarding this podcast or the website, shoot us an email, feedback@beeroftheday.com. All right, let's get back to the Beer of the Day podcast.
Hey! Hey! Give me a stout, give me an ale. Don't care if it's golden, red, brown, or if it's pale. I love the lager and lambic too. I love beer. Can give me a pint and make it a black and tan. Open the tap and let it flow. I love beer. I love beer. The way that it tastes, the way it makes me feel. So let's have a cheers. I love beer.
Welcome back to the Beer of the Day podcast. This is Jeff Blaney. He's a musician from Nashville, and he wrote this song. He must be a beer lover, so let's listen to it.
I love the barley, I love the hops, I love beer. I love beer. The way that it tastes, the way it makes me feel, so let's have a cheers. I love beer.
Man, makes me want a beer.
You got a few more coming.
I love beer. The way that it tastes, the way it makes me feel. So let's have a cheers. I love beer.
So Jeff sent that out to everybody on Twitter, all the beer people, and I thought it was kind of fun, so I thought I'd play that on the show here. If you want to check it out yourself, jeffblaneymusic.com.
You can't be angry listening to that song. It's got good. A good vibe.
Yeah.
Got the Irish like drinking song vibe to it. It.
And I mean this in a very good way. I'm a huge fan of Weird Al, but that sounds like a Weird Al song. I love it.
Awesome. I think it's catchy.
You are a huge fan of Weird Al.
I am a huge fan of Weird Al.
All right, let's move into the next beer. This is Rebel IPA from Boston Beer Company, Sam Adams. You don't get any more American beer than that. And just to change it up, I thought I'd go Rebel because it's for us to drink Sam Adams, it's like drinking water. You know, we've had it so many times that you can't really distinguish it. I've had this a few times, and you know, Rebel, the original Rebel.
Yeah, so this was Sam Adams' first attempt at a West Coast IPA, and I really enjoy it. You know, I haven't even tasted this yet, but I've drank a lot of this beer, and I think they did a good job. It's not... it's not on the same standard as like your Green Flash West Coast IPA or anything from Stone. It's not that level of the hoppiness. but it is, for them, it's a lot, you know?
Right.
That was going to be my first statement, just off the first taste. I've had it before, but just my first impression, like, if you think you're going to get a West Coast IPA, I can't necessarily classify that. I know they're using West Coast hops, but it's almost like a toned down version of it.
Sure.
It's not as crisp. And
it's 6.5%. You know, it's not that high alcohol. It's more, it's maybe a gateway to a West Coast IPA, classic West Coast IPA. Now, I haven't had their Rebel Rouser yet. They're double.
Right. I've had that a lot lately. And it's actually, I would say, kind of less hoppy. I mean, it's got more hops in it, obviously, but for a double IPA, it's pretty malty and kind of syrupy. And syrupy is usually a bad term for me to describe a beer, but in that case, I really enjoy that beer.
Hmm.
And this beer, when you smell it, I haven't tasted it yet, but when you smell it, it tastes like it. I mean, it smells like it's going to have a ton of hop oil on it.
It smells very, very hoppy.
Yeah, it's got, I mean, the aroma on it is amazing. I mean, this is something I wish I could bottle and put on cologne before I go into a bar of beer-loving women.
Yeah, it smells very floral.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's differences between the two coasts here. We get so hoppy here, California, Oregon. And on the East Coast, the beers that we get from there, it's not quite the same thing. I mean, we've been to Chicago. We went to Boston.
We've been to Tampa, you know.
Yeah, it's a different atmosphere, hop wise out there than it is here. And so, for Sam Adams, huge to start moving in that direction and get more hoppy. It's good because it's gonna. As a huge hop fan, I like the fact that we're gonna see more of that.
Yeah, you know, Sam Adams, they've said that in the past they were never going to do an IPA. They never wanted to enter that market. And then it just took off and went gangbusters, and they realized maybe we should.
Sure. And then now Sierra Nevada is in North Carolina. They're going to be distributing widely to the East Coast. And pretty soon, it's not going to be that long before things are going to balance out.
Maybe we get some good sours from Sierra Nevada.
I don't think that's ever going to happen.
You never know.
That's not their bag.
No.
I don't know about you guys.
It started going barrels, so.
Yeah.
To me, this tastes like just a hoppier version of like the regular Sam Adams Boston Lager. It's okay. It's not great. I don't think there's a lot of distinctive flavors. I like it. I mean, it's like the most clear beer, one of the most clear beers I've ever seen. I tend to gravitate towards like the unfiltered little hazy IPAs, and it's not bad by any means, but to me, I like Sam Adams, but this is just kind of a Sam Adams Boston Lager with some extra hops.
I like it better than Sam Adams Boston Lager.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd take that over this. This over that.
As a non-IPA drinker, I can appreciate this since it kind of bridges between the worlds, one that I like and one that I don't like. It's hoppy, but it doesn't have that lingering hop bitterness at the end that I tend to not like.
But I'm with Jeff. It lacks thickness. And that's the word I would describe it.
And the distinct flavor. I would say that's good. The bottle says it has big citrus and grapefruit flavors.
I don't get that.
You know?
No.
Nothing at all.
I guess I could see a little grapefruit in there, but not much. It's not a citrus note to me.
I think Dal made a good point. Like, it would be a good starter IPA. It's somewhere in between... kind of like the Liberty Ale from before and what we consider to be a good West Coast IPA.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. How's everyone's beer levels there? Getting to the end?
Yep.
Getting to the end.
Okay.
I'm having a hard time getting this one down. Not one of my favorites.
It kind of smells like citrusy hops and clean sheets. Smell it. It has like a at the very end, there's a little like laundry detergent there.
Yeah,
or something.
It does. The aroma, and I don't know if that's a bad thing. The aroma is so strong that it has like a potent flavor to it, like a flower that comes across a little bit like laundry detergent. But, you know, I don't blame them for that. It's got a great aroma.
I'm going to wash clean. My clothes in this from now on.
I'm with Joel over there. It's got a really good aroma. You really smell the Cascade and... You know, the Centennial hops, all those normal West Coast hops that we're so used to tasting. But I just, the taste just falls flat. Like, it's
Yeah, it's funny. It has such a huge aroma, and then you taste it, and it just it's very, very subtle taste. It's not it's not a very overpowering taste at all.
I don't mind. You know, I have a lot of this beer because it's relatively cheap, and I don't mind throwing it in between a couple packs of, you know, your Sierra Pale, a Hop Hunter, or a Lagunitas IPA. I don't like getting the same beer every time, so
it's very drinkable.
It's a very drinkable beer. I enjoy having it in the fridge when I have it. So,
and yeah, I think comments have been negative, but I don't consider this a bad beer.
No, it's not a bad beer.
It's very drinkable. I think it's tasty. You know, it's just it's not as IPA as we're used to.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's not a bad beer, but it's not doesn't live up to my standard for what I would expect for an IPA.
All right, let's move to the next one. This is Brew Free or Die IPA. Just the name itself.
What's all that noise?
This comes in in cans, and that's Andy opening the box of cans. 21st Amendment puts all their beers in cans, and 21st Amendment is about four blocks away from the AT&T Park where the Giants play. We're Giants fans, and so before Giants games, oftentimes we'll find ourselves at this brewery.
I will say 21st Amendment's always got a unique packaging. Their six pack boxes or cartons, whatever you want to call them, they're always something going on. Like in this one, you have the Mount Rushmore. Whatever you have it, but it's always like something unique.
Mount Rushmore coming alive and coming to kick your ass or something. Yeah, I don't know.
Abe looks Abe Lincoln
there,
for sure.
There's a fist. There's some clouds in the background.
Even Washington looks scared of him.
He kind of does.
A little bit. One's laughing, one's just staring, one looks terrified, and the other's, I'm going to kick your ass.
Forget that blood warmth. Abe Lincoln's boiling.
Yeah, but I mean, as far as the vibe we're going for 4th of July, and this is, it fits the mold.
Look, and Teddy's just laughing.
American ass kicking.
Yeah, this is like the military beer. Like, we're going to come get you, and we're not going to regret it. Watch out.
So America. I poured myself a pretty big glass here. I have my own can, and I love the smell of this beer.
Yeah.
It smells like wort. I love the smell of wort. Some people don't like it, but it smells a bit. Yes.
Like
she hates it.
Wort, W-R-T, not W-A-R-T, right?
Correct.
Okay, just want to clarify.
But it's got a great aroma. Just I haven't had a sip yet, but I love the aroma of this beer.
100% with Jeff. I smelled it, and I was like, this smells really good. I got like a cigarette smell, like that kind of honey, toasted honey.
What kind of cigarettes do you smell?
I don't know what kind of cigarettes smell like
that. Has anybody ever smelled a cigarette not lit? I mean, I don't mean the smoke of a cigarette.
Yeah, and it doesn't smell like that at all.
Yeah. Totally.
No, if you open up a brand new pack of Marlboros and it's like straight open, like you know the date is on like a month old, yeah, you're gonna get this smell.
So if you open a pack of Marlboros, you're going to get a divorce.
That's a true story.
My wife hates smoking.
I do.
No, 21st Amendment, I've had this beer before, and I've never been a huge fan of their beers. There's always been another version of the same beer somewhere else that's better. I do enjoy their Back in Black, Black IPA, whatever it is.
Yeah. Their Hell or High Watermelon is a very interesting beer. I mean, it's not one that you want to have all the time, but as a novelty, you take that, you take a slice of watermelon, you put it in there. It's kind of fun.
If it's 110 degrees
out. That's for a good summer beer.
But
summer beer, yeah.
Then there's Lost Coast right up the coast that does a watermelon beer, same style, and it's way better. I had them side by side once, and I was like, wow, they're just not even close.
The other option tonight was their Bitter American, and I just didn't think that fit the theme, so we ended up with Brew Free or Die.
No, you know, I am actually enjoying this. I didn't think I would, but it's a solid beer.
Yeah, back to back, right after the Rebel IPA, this one is a lot more malty to me than hoppy.
And malty and sweeter.
So yeah. It's straw colored. It's quite cloudy. Much more cloudy than the previous one.
to me, this is a beer that smells better than it tastes. But
I'd agree.
I like it. It's very malt forward, like Brennan said. It's a little bitter on the aftertaste. Like, it's not a smooth beer.
But the aroma has a little bit of that orange blossom smell to it. I mean, it's got that little bit of that.
I got that, too. I was going to say lemon.
But on the taste, it might be a little bit there, but I don't get too much of that.
I get just a subtle hop taste. I mean, I don't know.
You get more grapefruit really than anything, though.
This is something I would expect from...
I'm getting grapefruit-ish.
I'd expect this from like a East Coast brewery, or it's almost like an English-style IPA in my mind.
I'd agree with that.
I don't know.
It's not West Coast.
I mean, well, I don't know. 70 IBUs,
yeah.
It's getting up there, you know?
Yeah.
And 7%. Yeah.
I just think it's not as balanced as some of the IPAs that we're used to. I think that what we're tasting here is, I'm maybe a little biased. I've had this beer many times, and I've never been really a huge fan of it. And to me, there's just, for this style of beer, there's a lot of different ones I'd rather have than this.
I agree. It's one that I only get when it's kind of like the last option, or it's on sale.
Yeah, and I would say 9 out of 10 times I've had this beer is I've had it because I'm going to a Giants game. That's the only reason I've had it, is because I'm enjoying the moment at a Giants game, and we're going to the brewery right before we go to enjoy a game.
Call me crazy. I love this.
All right.
You're crazy.
Yeah. Crazy.
I think it's like my preference of maybe I like the East Coast IPAs better. I don't know. I've never been a big IPA drinker. And
everybody's, this is just... everybody's palate is different. I mean, some IPA drinkers love a maltier IPA, and that might be you.
I wouldn't go as far.
I think that's exactly it.
I wouldn't go as far as to say that I love it, but I think I like it better than a lot of other IPAs that I've had. But Steve and I think, are a little bit more similar
that makes
in
sense,
our palates.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I was going to say, both of you are similar
like the
in
hoppy
terms.
Stuff.
Yeah, you're not big hop drinkers in general, so
both women.
But I wouldn't say I love it. I don't love it, but I don't hate it.
But I could drink this whole 6-pack.
Well
I think
fun.
You're going to get to.
They're yours, buddy.
We didn't even talk about that. This is 21st Amendment Brewery, which was the amendment that, you know, ended Prohibition.
Yes.
The Volstead
Our
Act,
favorite
right?
amendment, right?
One of the best amendments, for sure.
Don't you think it would have been more fun to drink in sin, though, like as a crime? You know, one of the speakeasies?
Yes.
Seems like that would have been pretty fun.
We did that once. It wasn't in crime. It was, they made it feel like that.
In San Diego?
San Diego. Then we go to a little one in San Francisco.
Yeah. We went to the Speakeasy Brewery in San Francisco. And then we went to the...
Something Speakeasy.
What's the name of it, Jeff? It's a something...
Neighborhood.
A Noble Experiment.
A Noble Experiment.
In San Diego.
There's a secret bookshelf. And that, you push it in.
No, they're kegs.
Secret kegs
on the wall. Beer kegs. And then it leads you into the secret bar. And then there's no chairs, and then they kick you out of there. And then you go back in. And then they kick you out again. It's great.
I just realized that at some point throughout the podcast, Joel and I switched classes, and I don't know when that was. But
oh, man. My.
Well,
yeah, it's not a huge deal.
Seeing as how you're married, I hope that's okay.
Yeah, it's good. All
right. Let's have another beer.
Let's do it.
This is Stone and Joy by... July 4th, 2015.
Now, these Enjoy By beers, I'm sorry, you have something else?
No, I'm just saying that today is June 26th, 2015, so we have a week more to drink this.
So
but
extra fresh.
But 4th of July, it's over, so we have to drink this now, and because it's got 4th of July written right on the bottle, it fits the theme.
I don't like it telling me what to do. What if I don't enjoy it?
So
then what?
So, Andy, when was your beer bottle? Because we're drinking two different bottles. He's drinking a 22-ounce, and I'm drinking a 12-ounce. When was yours actually bottled?
I don't know.
Doesn't say it on it in a stamp?
It might, but...
Mine says May 28th.
So mine was also May 28th. So I'm assuming that Andy's was also May 28th.
Oh, 5:30. Yeah, May 30th.
Okay.
So they, what is it, 35 days? You're supposed to drink these within 35 days after they brew them, and that's what the date is. There's a huge demand for these beers. The beer stores, the little bottle shops around town, they put a limit on how many you can buy at a time and stuff like that. And
I think they purposefully limit the number so that it creates false demand.
It does.
Also, there is differences between the beers. And word out on the street is this one isn't that good.
I'm going to say so that
I'll reserve my judgment, but
without having it, in the past, I don't see the hype. I just don't get it. And maybe that's a thing about Stone beers in general. I know that some of us here are not huge Stone fans.
Jeff.
True.
But they do make some good beers.
I don't judge a book by its cover, though. So I'm going to try this. And
absolutely.
So I kegged a beer before 5/28 recently. And I'm not concerned of having to drink it by July 4th at all.
Right, but you didn't brew it specifically to be drank within a certain time frame. Like Pliny the Elder, it's another one that you need to drink right away. Yeah, that's the point, is like if you want that full hop effect, you got to drink it soon.
Also, I think there's some marketing involved in
putting the date
on it, and everyone has to get the new one.
You know? I think that's true, but there is a thing about drinking your beer fresh. The hops, they fade fast. Within a month or 2 months, the hops are diminished significantly.
True.
All right, so it's a very clear beer.
Clear beer.
And I am getting a little, I don't think I've ever described a beer smelling like this, so this is a first for me. I get a little tar on the end of it.
I can see where you're coming from. It has just kind of a...
It's like hop,
rubber,
and then tar.
Yeah.
I was going to say weed.
But has anyone tried it yet? I took a sip.
Weed is not legal here in California, so we haven't had it yet.
I got a really nice, unique taste. I don't think I've ever tasted in a beer before. I got like a mint flavor. I don't know if I'm the only one tasting that.
Yeah, yeah. I think you're right.
Yeah.
I really like that a lot.
It's,
oh, whoa.
Wow.
Of these Enjoy By beers, this one is kind of the most syrupy that I've had. I mean that in the negative way this time.
Because it doesn't have a lot of carbonation, right? So it tastes liquid. It tastes syrupy.
It does.
So when I first started drinking beer with some of the people I'm with, I enjoyed that syrupy beer. It was more my style. And I actually really like this beer. It's got a lot of sugar. It's got a lot of alcohol flavors. And it's kind of my style of beer.
I didn't think it smelled like weed, but it kind of tastes like weed.
There's a little of that, yeah.
So, a little dankness.
Dank.
Not that we know what dank describes.
But we've been to Colorado once, so but never here in California.
And I went to college in Santa Cruz.
And I was in Amsterdam 2 weeks ago.
Those are all stories for different podcasts.
Yeah. And we actually, we went to many, many different countries. They were in Spain. I was in Germany, in Czech Republic, in Belgium, Netherlands.
Africa.
Yeah, we went to Africa.
So we tried all kinds of different beers there, and we will definitely give you the stories of our beer experiences there. But
just not today, because we're America.
This is 4th of July.
This is all about America.
America.
Patriotism.
Patriotism.
That's at the end of the show, and you've had a lot of beer.
So just so you know, that's coming. So you might hear a couple little things, mentions of it, but we will fully disclose all the information that we gathered on our fact-finding mission across the pond.
What pond?
The Atlantic.
The pond?
The big pond.
So back to this Stone Enjoy By. I don't know. I think I'm more with Dallas. I think there is a lot more marketing to this than the actual science.
The great thing is that they release these every few months, and we that can fill shows going forward. You know.
Yeah. So at the same time, this beer was on the shelf right next to it was Enjoy After 7/4/2016.
Yep. Yeah. What a year for that one.
So for $16, I can buy a beer that's going to sit in the fridge for a year, and What's it going to be? I don't know. I will buy it and it will sit in the fridge and we'll do it, but
it's going to taste like pure sugar, liquor, and just like formaldehyde.
Then their marketing was successful.
I don't know, but we have to try it.
Dude, I like this beer. You know, it's fresh. I agree with Steve, the mintiness, but this is my type of beer. It is a little skunky, which I would expect if this had a green bottle, which it does not, but I like fresh hoppy beers, and you know, I'm not the biggest Stone fan, but this is a pretty tasty beer.
It's very un-Stone, right? It doesn't taste like most of their beers. They have that, you know, hop slam in the face, and then they make a beer that tastes pretty good, but it's just too much hop. This is very unlike them, in my opinion.
Does this taste like 9.4%? To me, it does not.
No.
It's very drinkable.
The thing that's, so third sip rule, it's reminding me of Positive Contact for some reason, like a little bit of cilantro or a little bit of like habanero. It's like a little spicy.
I'm not getting that.
You're not getting that?
No, I am probably. I am getting the 9.4% though. I'm getting a very alcoholic beer.
I think mine may be a little warmer than the individual bottles or something. It's like very thick, syrupy to me.
I don't know.
Anyway.
All right. So let's recap the beers of the night. We'll pick our beer of the day. Andy?
Okay, so we started off with the American Amber Ale from Rogue in Newport, Oregon. We moved on to Liberty Ale from Anchor Brewing in San Francisco. And then we had our Rebel IPA from Boston Beer Company from Boston, Massachusetts. The Brew Free or Die IPA from 21st Amendment in San Francisco. And then finally the Stone Enjoy by 7415 from Stone Brewing in Escondido, California.
All right, let's go around and pick our first beer of the day. Let's start with Joel.
All right, just to make this quick, I'm going to definitely go with the Stone Enjoy By. Good, strong flavor, a lot of alcohol, kind of syrupy flavor that I like, and I'm glad I had it.
Kira.
I think I like the Brewfree or Die IPA. It's got a little bit of a sweeter taste to me tonight. It just kind of is appealing to me tonight, but I have to pick that one.
Brewfree or Die.
So for me, I've had plenty of the Stone Enjoy By, and I thought going into the night that's what I was going to pick as my beer of the day, but I'm not real impressed with this one specifically. And I knew I kind of talked down the Rebel IPA, but I think that's what I'm going to pick as my beer of the day. It's just kind of, you know, it's got a refreshing flavor, and it is a good beer, not necessarily what I would expect from an IPA, but I think it's a good entry level to the West Coast IPA.
I like Rebel IPA for sure. My beer of the day is going to be Liberty Ale. For a beer that has been brewed for so long, and I don't think it's changed that much. I mean, just from 2007 when I had it to now, I think it's the same beer, and it's probably very similar to how it was when they started it. To have a beer that they continue to release through two generations of beer drinkers, I think there's a lot of qualities in that beer that withstand the test of time, and I think it's pretty drinkable, especially if you're going to drink it with food. So I'll go with Liberty Ale. Jeff?
For me, it comes down to two beers. The first beer, the Rogue American Amber.
Really?
Might be a curveball. And the Stone beer, Enjoy By. And I think I got to go with Stone. I never thought I would choose that, but this, you know, all the four other beers we had were all okay. None were bad. None really were great that I would buy on a regular basis. But the Stone one has the most flavor. It's probably just more my style. It's a double IPA, but I like the fresh hop taste. So I got to go with Stone. Enjoy By July 4th, 2015.
Andrew.
America.
This is tough because most of these shows we do, we're having beers we've either never had or have them very rarely. And today there's, you know, three beers that we've had fairly frequently. And then the Stone Enjoy By, that's a popular release. And I mean, it's a different beer, but it's along the same lines. So I'm going to go with the Brew Free or Die. And that's a beer that in the past, I've overlooked it. And I actually enjoyed it this time. Usually I don't, I overlook 21st Amendment. They've put me off. Maybe it's the can. Maybe it's, I don't know what it is. But I enjoyed that beer. And put up against these, if I had to pick one right now, I'd pick one of those.
Steven.
Brew Free or Die, definitely. It's right up my alley. I never knew that it was my alley, but I found out tonight that I like it a lot.
Britton?
Alrighty, I'm going to go with 21st Amendment Brew Free or Die as well. I think in general, 21st Amendment is not a brewery that I would choose a lot. They haven't really impressed me with any of the beers that I've had before, but I really liked how malty it was. And I guess malty IPA is in my alley. I didn't know that either. So Steve and I both learned something tonight. 21st Amendment, Brew Free or Die IPA.
All right, Jeff, we need to start getting familiarized with photographing cans because Brew Free or Die will be the beer of the day on July 4th, 2015. All right, we're going to close out our special edition of the Beer of the Day podcast for the 4th of July. We thank you for tuning in tonight and invite you to check out our website, beeroftheday.com. Swing on by, create an account. No one's creating accounts on the site, but that allows you to interact with everybody else on the site. All right, we'll see you next time. For Jeff Miller, Andy Hamilton, Steve Williamson, Britton and Joel Miner, Kira Hopkin, Brandon Hofer, I'm Dallas Helliker. We'll see you next time right here on the Beer of the Day podcast.